This evening's encouragement talk will be given by Senior Dharma Teacher Carol Morley.
It's kind of odd to be sitting here, partly because in my mind, there's a daze here, and everybody sitting here is up higher than the rest of us. So I'm kind of surprised that we're all on the same level. So for this session, I've been practicing the useless Buddha practice. And this was suggested to me by this wise old man, or old wiseacre, who is one of your teachers up here. When I told him I felt so useless, and he said, "Oh, well, why don't you just practice that?" So what he didn't tell me is that you can't practice the useless Buddha practice. It has to practice you. So I want to start by telling you how I came down here on Friday from a cottage up at Lake Champlain on Willsboro Bay. That's been in my father's family a long time, and I was up there. I take care of my father, and I take care of the cat, who has to be fed 3 times a day, or she gulps the food down and vomits all over the house. And my father has not that issue, but similar problems. So I have a lot to do. I'm really important. I'm really, really useful. And I painted the deck, and I painted the porch, and I even had time in the morning to do recreation. And at dawn, I swam along the shore, and all the wildlife tolerated me. One morning, I saw a mallard I knew swim up with her ducklings, and I thought, that's odd. I thought she had 4, and there were only 3 there. And she began to search along the bank where I was sitting, and then she began to get frantic. And she was giving out these almost squawks of anxiety and panic. And it went on and on. And I thought she must have lost her duckling. And then a whole crew of mallards came in, about 5 of them. And they circled her. And they circled her and her little ducklings. And they began to make clucking noises. Like, quack, quack, quack. And she was going, and then suddenly she darted up in the air and zoomed down the shore, and one of the other ducks followed her. And we all waited to see what was going to happen. And then she came back, and she began again. And she was in such despair. She was so distraught and so distressed. And the clucking began again, and gradually the other ducks moved her down the shore. Yeah, so that was my little bubble that was there, and that I was so important in, and that I had created, and it was created so everything would go smoothly, and I was essential to it. And I got in the car, and I had no expectations of session other than that I was going to deepen my meditation practice. And I started out, and these tendrils of anxiety started growing up in my chest. And they had nowhere to go because I didn't know where they'd come from. So I began to construct a little world for them. And in that little world, all sorts of disasters befell my little bubble family in the little bubble I had created. And pretty soon even I knew that I had better take a look at this and not just let myself get out of control. So I did turn to the anxiety. And what I saw was fear of being useless. And I had created a bubble refuge that wasn't really a refuge. It was a place I could control in some way and keep safe, and it wouldn't change. Only I couldn't. Later, when in one of our Dharma talks, I think Mike said that when you're searching for the self and you can't find it, fear arises. Who am I then? My mind, began tugging at that Dharma robe, because if I could just get it off that rock, and I could protect that little Dharma, that little bubble family of mine. And I had to kind of let that go. But I still felt the uselessness, probably because I'm at that age and about to retire and so on. But it followed me. Followed me to Sesshin. And even though I had a job at Sesshin that I should have been paying attention to, and I promise I was 100% paying attention except for the feeling of uselessness. And I know all of you wish I'd been paying more than 100% attention so that we wouldn't have had any mishaps. But there I was, and that's what I brought to the wise Ikkar Roshi, and that's when he gave me this practice. And that's when I discovered that you can't do it. And you can't do it because it is the opposite of that calculating mind that creates and organizes and puts things together so that everything will make sense, be organized, and you can control it. So I was trying to deal with this. How do I get to that place of the useless Buddha? And then by my great good fortune, the universe slapped me on the side of the head, and I was laid out in bed, dehydrated with probably one of the worst migraines I've had, and nausea and dizziness and complete immersion in uselessness. And as I lay there, not even being able to let a thought pop into my head because it would make it throb, people began to appear around me, and they began clucking. And they said, "You should have a little electrolyte water. Maybe you should get her a banana. You're doing really well. Now just another sip." And I didn't want another sip because I didn't want to throw up. And yet, there was something so kindly about their clucking that I didn't want to disappoint them. So I kept drinking the water, and that's how I practiced the useless Buddha. So what do I have to offer you from that story? Well, one thing is that we're all going to be that useless Buddha at some time. So the bad thing is we're all going to be that useless Buddha. And the good thing is we're all going to be that useless Buddha. So what is it like to be the useless Buddha? This space opens up around you, and into that space come dozens and dozens and dozens of arms and hands and eyes. And isn't that miraculous? And it's real. And it's something to take refuge in. Thank you.